From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. We have now navigated a holiday weekend under stay-at-home orders, and the reality of what's ahead is being defined somewhat by what's being canceled and how far out there are cancellations. Major League Baseball, you probably know, canceled spring training, delayed the first few weeks of the season, and is now trying to figure out what to do with the rest of it. Burning Man this year won't happen in the Nevada desert. That was announced over the weekend. A virtual Burning Man festival, though, is being planned. Stand by for those details at some point in the future. Organizers of this year's Tour de France are still weighing whether to postpone to late summer or to cancel. And then there was this update. The community of riders at Squaw Valley has postponed its 50th anniversary writers' conference this July, pushing it to next July. The poetry workshops in late June, though, are being moved online. So let's switch to the national level. There are questions now about whether the Trump administration waited too long to put mitigation measures in place, whether the economy should be reopened May 1st, or if that's too soon, and exactly what the virus might do in the fall and winter. NBC's Chuck Todd asked the special envoy from the World Health Organization, Dr. David Nabarro, about what we're learning now from Southern Hemisphere countries. I think it's interesting to listen to this. So here's Dr. Nabarro on Meet the Press yesterday.
We're not so sure that it will come in waves in the way that influenza does. We think it's going to be a virus that stalks the human race for quite a long time to come, until we can all have a vaccine that will protect us, and that there will be small outbreaks that will emerge sporadically and they will break through our defenses. So the key for this particular virus is that every community has a kind of defensive shield, can pick up cases as soon as they appear, isolate them and stop outbreaks from developing. It's going to be necessary for every single country to have that capacity. And so we're actually encouraging countries to put that in place now, and that will facilitate releasing lockdowns and prevent further massive outbreaks.
Regarding the United States, it's a state-by-state basis in many ways. And for California specifically, Governor Gavin Newsom will give a noon update. He did not hold Saturday or Sunday public briefings because of the Easter holiday. So today's statewide broadcast will be hosted by CAP Radio starting at noon. California's Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis has graciously agreed to talk with us, and she is on the phone from her office at the state capitol. Lieutenant Governor, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Beth. It's great to be with you.
So some data models, as you know, show today or tomorrow actually to be the peak of hospitalizations in California, the most optimistic being the IHME. But the governor continues to talk about mid-May. So what's your take on the peak in the curve in this state?
Well, Beth, there are several different models that people are looking at to determine where the peaks are going to be. But what I think is clear at this point, you know, now over 3 weeks into our stay-at-home plan here in the state, is that we have flattened the curve. And California was the very first state in the United States to basically take the science seriously and understand, as radical as it seems, we have to issue an order to tell everyone to stay at home. And the fact is, Californians responded to it. So we're now really getting this first phase of data that is showing how well our response is working. And that information is very good news. But as we know, it's too early to be able to stop it, because we can get right back into a situation where the virus could come roaring back again if we do. So we've done a great job in getting out there and our people and having folks stay at home, but we need to continue with this for some time longer.
Given that, there is discussion, as I just referenced, on the national level about the president's administration reopening the country May 1st. Is that realistic for California?
You know, from the beginning, the federal administration has told the states that we are on our own. And I think if you look at California's response and the governor, who has really stepped up and handled this with incredible leadership by all accounts, it really has been, okay, we're on our own. What are we going to do about it? And it's been, you know, the goal here for our state is to figure out what do we need, how many hospital beds, how much PPE, how many ventilators, and how do we move as quickly as possible to get to those goals while flattening this curve. So I think that our path continues to be our path, and our health experts, public health experts, are going to continue to guide it for our state to determine basically what everyone is asking right now, Beth, which is, now what? We flatten the curve. How do we start to get kids back in school? How do we get people back to work? How do we start to rebuild that normal, recognizing that things won't entirely get back to normal until we have a vaccine, and that could be more than a year away.
But weighing this medical versus financial situation in the pandemic, what would you prefer for the state? When would you like that sense of reopening to be? In what month or in what week?
You know, it's been a process where as we get data, we reevaluate what it means for reopening. And it isn't just a question of staying at home and flattening the curve and wearing masks and washing our hands. It's also the fact that we're ramping up testing. So the governor put a group together to figure out how we can get to 25,000 tests per day in California by the end of this month. That means additional supplies like swabs and reagents. Our University of California system is testing and in trials for new therapies so that if people do get sick, it's less likely that they result in fatalities. Because we have new therapies on their way, one that a California company, Gilead, is testing in our UC hospitals right now and could come online in a couple of weeks. So there are a whole bunch of factors that will help us determine how do we safely get people back to work. And with every passing day that we flatten the curve and keep people safe, it's another day to get additional resources and tools to be able to help us start the economy back up.
Can I just go back around to that May 1st date and ask you yes or no again, whether you think that's likely for California for a reopening economically from where we are right now?
Beth, there's not going to be a switch flipped where one day it's stay at home and the next day it's everybody back to work. It's going to be a rolling process. So if we think in reverse of what shut down, we're going to have to start it back up again. I think it's going to be a long time, for instance, before we have gatherings of 1,000 people. But how we step it back up, what that curve looks like, what safely phases in, is going to be part of a planning process. So I think the notion of from the last day in April to the first day in May of there being a dramatic change, that doesn't compute to me and what I'm understanding about how the planning is going for our state. But again, I think that what we're all responding to and what I'm responding to is the governor making it very clear that we were told to go our own way. We're making our own plans. We are getting our own resources in line. We're working with our own models. And we don't want to get in a situation where being pitted against the federal government, because that's really not helpful right now. It's not helpful to the people of the state of California.
I am talking with California's Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounoulakis. And as I was describing the delays and the cancellations, and you look now that they're out till September and into the fall, it's evidence of what you're saying in terms of everybody's kind of safety and projection. Since the governor's last press conference on Friday, I'd like to get any update that you can share with us. Both the Johns Hopkins and the ncov2019.live websites are showing a bit over 23,000 positive cases in the state as of today, and somewhat under 700, but above 600 in terms of deaths. What else has changed over the weekend?
Well, every day at noon, the governor does press conferences, and I really encourage everyone to listen in. We release the new data every day at noon when he does those press conferences. So you're right, it is over the 650 number that we released on Saturday, but or the Saturday numbers, but at noon today we'll hear the new numbers and what that means for the modeling. But I also want to draw people's awareness to our website, covid19.ca.gov, because we have enormous resources now for people on the dealing with the economic outfall of this. Everything from how to get support for your small business, support for individuals and seniors, opportunities to volunteer, support for healthcare workers who can now get vouchers if they're not comfortable staying at home with their families as they're working in these difficult environments in our hospitals. So we have a very robust response, lots of resources for people, and I really encourage people to go there. And then finally, I would say this, on this question of our numbers, of California numbers and how they compare, you know, it really is remarkable when we look at what happened in New York, where this is a population that is half as large as California. So it's about 20 million people in New York, 40 million people in California. They have had now about 20,000 fatalities, and our fatalities are still less than 1,000. So it is a real testament to what we have imposed on ourselves. And it has been very difficult for many people, for our seniors, for our healthcare workers, for our families, for moms who never thought they'd be homeschooling their kids. But the results so far are showing that it has paid off. And that's something I think that everyone can be proud of as we look at what it means for our projections of going forward and our planning for going forward.
Yeah, it's a remarkable number that I think New York has passed 10,000 fatalities. So your part of your role in California's effort has been to work with sister state provinces overseas to put together this supply chain network. How confident are you about what's been ordered and the integrity of what will be delivered?
Well, again, this has been a real challenge because, you know, as a former senior U.S. government official, I was astonished that the federal government was not stepping in to coordinate all of the ordering of PPE, ventilators, and other supplies. Again, very early on, the administration said, states, you're on your own. And it created this open market, right? I think Governor Cuomo called it an eBay market for PPE, where everyone was competing against one another and this free-for-all of figuring out which vendors were real, which ones were fraudulent. Very, very difficult. However, being the state of California, having the relationships with international relationships, particularly with China that we do, we had the ability to move very quickly, working with private sector partners as well, to secure what we needed. And as you mentioned, we also have these sister state relationships. So there are provinces in China that we had previous relationships with Jiangsu, with Sichuan, both of those are our sister states, and with Guangdong, whose capital is sister cities with Los Angeles. So we were able to work with them to share information. They were able to provide us with resources that helped us to vet potential purchases. And then in certain circumstances, they actually offered to donate to California supplies. In fact, today, or hopefully in the next few days, we'll be receiving a shipment from Taiwan, another relationship that's important to California, of about 100,000 masks that they are giving to the people of California from the people of Taiwan. So we are a nation state, as the governor continues to say. We do have these very strong international partnerships, and that has helped us in this meet this moment and in this challenge as well.
I don't know if you've seen this message, Lieutenant Governor, from Doug Osi, who is now chairman of Rebuild California Foundation. He's questioning this Chinese company, BYD, which California has made the billion-dollar deal with, saying that the company has glaring red flags on its record and challenging whether it's appropriate to do business. Is it fair to say we aren't really going to know until the shipments begin arriving what the integrity of the contract actually is?
Well, I think that in some cases, there's no question that there are sort of leaps of faith in terms of the purchasing, but not, I don't think that's the case with BYD. You know, they are a company that's been in California now for several years. They manufacture electric buses, and they're a very significant company. We have every reason to believe that this partnership is reliable and that in their sourcing of supplies in China, that it will result in a positive outcome, that they will get resources that meet the standards that we need for our workers. So I don't think that we have an issue there. But I will say that for many smaller states that are out on the open market, that are trying to determine who's real and who's not real, it continues to be a challenge. Again, that California, because of our size and our relationships, is better equipped to overcome.
So I have two more questions I'd like to get through. Today is Monday, the 13th of April. Our key strategy still at this point is to keep people at home and to keep them distancing. And now we're all wearing face coverings. When do you anticipate that the testing in the state is ramped up and strong enough that it, too, will guide policy? And I guess that's assuming that we're going to get to that point, that testing becomes as strong a tool as some of our behavioral measures.
You know, I think that as this crisis hit, really the critical path was keeping people at home, sharing the message of the importance of social distancing, and preparing our hospitals with the equipment that we need, with the healthcare workers who we need, and ensuring those healthcare workers are going to be safe. You know, we are now at a phase where I think we can say that that piece of the response is pretty well established. The next question is, what do we do now? How do we minimize the negative impact to our economy? How do we get people back to work? And as I said, there's not going to be an easy answer to this until we have a vaccine. So it's going to be, I think, a rolling out, a stepping up. So for instance, when you put people back to work, how do we make sure that not only our healthcare workers have the PPE they need, but then our workers in the food industry have what they need. And then our workers in construction have what they need. And as we move people back into work, that we are able to assess the safety of their being in those workplaces, both by ensuring that they're able to stay at least 6 feet apart, that they're not in confined spaces, and right, that they have the PPE that they need. And so I guess there's no real date certain. It's more of its own curve, I guess I would say, where the faster that we can get testing in place, which again, as I mentioned, we're hoping to have 25,000 people tested every day in California starting by the end of this month, but that knowing who's infected and who's not, and again, most people who get infected do not get sick enough to need to go to the hospital, right? So how do we balance all of this and maximize our ability to get people safely back to work? And I think we're at the beginning of, not the beginning of planning for it. Planning has been going on, but at the beginning of seeing what that actually is going to mean for all of us who are so diligently staying at home and taking all of the necessary precautions right now.
Or quite alone at our offices, right?
I know. We've been working on a skeleton crew here for about 3 weeks. But again, it's remarkable how efficient Zoom and all of the all of the other tools that we have, communications tools that we have, are working. So I know a lot of people are still able to do their jobs from home, which is great. But I've got a couple teenagers at home, and I know everyone's getting antsy.
Yeah. Lieutenant Governor, do you have friends or family who have been sick from the virus or are out there on the front lines as healthcare workers right now?
I do, in all of those cases. And it's very scary. You know, one of the things that you hear is when, you know, you first get it, the symptoms might seem very mild, and then suddenly in certain people, it can escalate very quickly. And again, I think that that's why it's been so incredibly important that we have the ventilators and the other tools in the hospitals that we need in order to be able to get that acute care. You know, it's scary, Beth. It really is. It feels like this sort of Russian roulette for those who get it. But at the same time, building confidence in our ability to meet the moment, as the governor says all the time, I think that is very helpful in keeping our spirits up, in knowing that it's within our hands to be able to minimize the number of fatalities that come from it. And also, now that we are in this phase of the get back to work kind of mentality, I think that there's going to be a lot more of inspiring stories and creativity and innovation that come along with this new phase that we're entering into.
Well, I appreciate your time today and the conversation. I look forward to more as all of this continues. This has been a nice open dialogue that, again, I appreciate that we've been able to begin.
Happy to join you anytime, and thank you for informing, keeping your listeners so well informed in the Sacramento region. Information is just very important to helping people understand what we're doing and why, and to also understand their own participation in this response has made an incredibly positive effect so far.
Thank you so much, Lieutenant Governor Kunalakis.
Thank you.
That was Lenny Kunalakis, whom you might know was the ambassador to Hungary in a previous job, and those connections to that country and to Europe have assisted in her roles in the state's COVID-19 battle. The governor, as she mentioned, holds his next press conference today at noon. I hope you'll join me for our statewide coverage. It begins promptly at noon here on CAP Radio. Up next, Sacramento and West Sacramento mayors will tell us how this week looks to them. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio.